It's my treat right now to welcome to Notably Texan for the first time a Texas singer-songwriter who continues to climb the ranks in the Texas music world. She long ago changed her career goal aspiration from veterinarian to full-fledged music artist, and we're so glad she did. Between her album releases and touring and her various side projects like a jewelry line and an outreach foundation, this gal barely has a chance to catch her breath. But you can catch her tomorrow night sharing the stage in Greenville with music legend Tanya Tucker at the Kenneth Threadgill Concert Series in Greenville. It's my pleasure to welcome to Notably Texan Kimberly Dunn. Kimberly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Oh, we are fantastic, especially now that I've got you on the line. I was kind of excited to tell you that we're located on the campus of a Texas A&M sister school. We're at A&M University Commerce, and that's a name that's near and dear to you as alumnus of our mother campus in College Station.
Yes, yes. That is so, so cool. I love it. I love it. Anything A&M, all of the way. Like, I just love it. It's just like there's a home anywhere. Anywhere you see a ring or an A&M or whatever you say. You know what? It's
yeah.
Just the home.
I totally understand. So I'm curious, what did you study and when did you graduate?
So I graduated in 2011, and I studied agriculture, leadership, and development, and I minored in music.
Oh, cool.
And I always tell people I majored in music because I learned how to lead the cows with singing.
Nice.
So, but actually, I was was majoring on in music originally, and I was getting my performance studies degree on the alto saxophone and jazz music, and I studied jazz all my life, and
wow.
I loved it. But my passion definitely was with singing and playing my guitar, and so one year I decided to switch, and they wouldn't let me switch because they told me I had no formal training on singing or playing guitar because
right.
I taught myself, and I didn't know how to read sheet music for a guitar. So they said either you can keep doing saxophone or you can go do something else. I was like, well, I'll just do something else to get my minor in music instead. So
that's cool.
I learned about agriculture.
Wow. Well, I think that would be really surprising to a lot of your fans out there, unless they really closely follow your bio, that you were ever into jazz or played the saxophone, because that's a far cry from what you do these days, of course.
it truly is. It truly is. And it's funny because we're playing, after we play the show tomorrow with Tanya, we are in the Green Hall with Roger Krager. And
oh,
Roger
cool.
actually, he, you know, former Aggie as well. And he was in the band at A&M, as was I. And we both played, he played trumpet, but I played saxophone. And I always joke with him, and I'm like, we should get a jazz band together.
That would be pretty awesome. I know that, you know, it wouldn't necessarily appeal to your, you know, strict country-loving music fans out there, but I think people appreciate an eclectic nature in music.
Yeah.
That's what we do on this program. We are far from just a country show. We play all styles of music, so somebody might hear some jazz, mixed in with some Americana and some who knows what. We play it all here on this program, so if you decide to do that, you can bet this is at least one station that would play your jazz release, okay?
Yeah. We'll call it Kim's Texas Swing Record.
So. That could be really cool, honestly. I'm not messing around when I say that. So you came out of college with a love for making music already. Did you immediately go to work on making your original songs at that point?
I did. And even while I was still my last year of school at A&M, I was on tour writing for the record, and I took online classes, and I had to go back to take proctored exams.
Yeah.
And then I graduated in August of 2011, and then I went into right after that, we went into the studio right after I graduated in August and started
wow.
recording my first EP from songs that I had written through college and on that last year of tour. And Randy Rogers was one of the first songs I wrote.
Wow.
That I thought that maybe, you know, I could make a living at it.
Yeah, well,
a passionate living at it, at least.
Definitely, and so many of us are really glad that you did do that. And we were, you know, like a lot of folks out there, we were perhaps a little late to the game. I was not playing your initial EPs just because I didn't have them, but I did, you know, finally get on board with the release of Forever on the Run back in 2014. And that, of course,
yeah.
included some great cuts like Randy Rogers and Trashy Side. That's a song that has gotten a lot of traction here even last year with a music video release and some action on the Texas charts, right?
Yeah, we were really happy with Trashy Side, and that song is just it's kind of been a little springboard. And we actually were about to put out Forever on the Run, my full-length record. We were going to put it out without Trashy Side, and I kind of felt like we needed one more song, and I just wasn't in the writing mind. I wrote every song on the record besides that one, and I just was trying to find something that matched the project, and a buddy of mine, Rachel Loy, came to me and she's like, "Well, I've got this song. See if you want to cut it." And it was perfect. It fit the project well, and it's kind of like where we're going for the next record. And it's definitely given me something to like put my two feet on and be like, this is the quintessential sound of what I'm going for. That and you know, and then staying true to my writer bone in my body, and you know, putting out songs like Randy Rogers and all that.
Well, that's great, and that's a song that I actually kind of you know, focused in on my own when I listened to the record. I, as a DJ, you know, tend to lean towards certain cuts that I like a little better than others, and before all this this activity with that tune Trashy Side, that was one of the outstanding cuts that I'd picked out and played a lot here on the show, so I can understand why you would put that front and center right now. If anybody hasn't heard that cut, I wanted to spin that right now, and this is one that you were just telling us was actually written by another artist, but you primarily do your own songwriting, and I want to talk about songwriting after we listen to this cut, Trashy Side, and folks can seek out a music video for this. Is there anywhere specific they can find that music video, or should they just Google it?
Absolutely. KimberlyDunnMusic.com. All of my links to YouTube, my YouTube channel's there, and or you could just YouTube Kimberly Dunn Trashy Side or whatever they feel like.
Awesome.
You better run. Don't be fooled. I'm just as bad as I am good. I may seem sweet, but I am tougher than I look. Been a long time since I had to fight, but I'm betting that's just like riding a bike. Stepping on these roots I hide, you're bringing out my trashy side.
I always like to talk to artists about their songwriting process when I get to chat with them, because artists of different you know, ilks do things different ways, and I've read that you're one that likes to kind of seclude yourself when you're going to write some songs.
I do. It all depends. Right now, I am writing like a madwoman for my next record.
Okay.
Last week, I was in Nashville co-writing for it. I had 6 writing sessions within 3 days.
Wow.
And it's a really cool process, the way that they do it in Nashville. The way that I wrote a lot of the songs on Forever on the Run, were literally by myself and just sitting at my house and, you know, picking them out through a guitar. And
yeah.
Now these days I just think of an idea and I just jot it down in my book because I don't have enough time, and then I make time for my writing sessions when I go to Nashville, and I write them with other people. But today, like literally right before I got on the phone with you, I got this idea for a song, and I just started like typing it out and getting it out, because sometimes it just happens, and
yes,
you just, like the musical muses of the world, they come to you and you don't ever plan it. So it's all over. At this point in my writing career, it's so fickle when it's going to happen. And it's just like, oh, when it happens, you got to write it down.
Yeah.
If you don't, you'll forget it.
Right. You cannot lose that. That will be out in the ether, and somebody else will get that song idea if you don't jot that down. So I totally understand. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always interested to hear how different artists do it. Well, tell me about the Dunn Good Foundation. You know, kind of a play on words here, because your last name is D-U-N-N, your stage name anyway. But tell me about the Dunn Good Foundation.
Right. Yeah. So the Dunn Good Foundation is kind of my heart behind this whole project. It's where I want to. I love music. Music is my passion, and the Dunn Good Foundation is absolutely in line with my musical passion and my passion in giving back to the community. I think that it's, for me, having a career that is labeled underneath my name, it's hard for me to just kind of sit back and let that happen, because I want it to be about everybody else. I want it to be about a community effort, because that's what my project is. It's not just me, the artist. It's me with my band and my you know, my family, my teammates, and we're a really close-knit group. Well, along saying that, I want to take care of everybody. So I want to take care of my family. But going further than that, I want to take care of the world. And the best way of doing that is starting my nonprofit organization, the Dunn Good Foundation. Every month we have a Dunn Good deed, and it can be anywhere from helping a lady cross the street or, you know, getting some canned food and bringing it to the local food shelter, or going to the animal shelter and hanging out with some animals. It can be anything. We've done some organized, done good deeds in the past. We've done Texas Children's Hospital tours, and my band and I have gone and performed in the Texas Children's Hospitals all over the state of Texas, and it was just such an amazing experience. And we called it, you know, bringing the honky tonk to them. I've you know, my passion is also veterinary and medicine. And so there's a refuge, horse refuge in San Antonio called the Brighter Days Horse Refuge. And we've gone there and helped them out with their horses that have been abused. And, it's my passion, for music is really strong, but my passion for giving back is even stronger because I was given the gift of being able to sing and being able to have a voice. And I just want to use that for the better and make the world a better place than when I came here.
Well, thank goodness for people like you. The world needs more of that, you know, and hats off to you for doing that, because not every artist, of course, you know, uses their fame for good. Some of them use it for evil. No, I mean, no, that's a really good thing. Exactly. Well, and as if that didn't keep you busy enough, I understand, Kimberly, you also have a line of jewelry available.
Yes. It's called Dear John Jewelry, and it's spelled like deer, like the animal, because I love them.
Yes.
Dear John Jewelry, and they're all handmade pieces by myself, and they're all unique,
wow.
Just like a song. So when I started the jewelry line, I wanted to get away from the music process because I got into a bogged writer's block moment in my life.
Yeah.
And I found that creating art in a physical way and in jewelry was really helpful to me. So I started my Etsy page, and you can find it on Etsy.com, and it's Dear John Jewelry. And I make pieces, and there's antlers, and there's all sorts of fun pendants, and they're all organic pieces, and just kind of like another way of me being able to express and give back to the community. A lot of what we're going to start doing with the Dear John is hooking it up with the Done Good Foundation and doing some wildlife conservation stuff.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, we're excited about it.
That's really neat. And so this is not pieces of jewelry that are, you know, cranked out at a factory in China or something like that. This is literally stuff that you are hand making. So talk about getting a cool, you know, unique one of a kind piece directly from the artist. That's a great way for people to feel further connection with you, I think.
Yeah, totally. And that's so funny. I never even thought of it that way, but it is nice. It's kind of like literally a physical song because
yeah.
It takes so much time. It's funny because making the necklace, like putting the beads actually on the string and, you know, all of that doesn't take that much time. But what takes the time is designing it, which
right.
is the same thing as writing a song and
yeah.
producing it and all that stuff. So it's just, it's interesting, and I really love it. It's another outlet for me to, you know, express myself, and I'm just lucky that people like it, and I'm, you know, I'll keep doing it if they do.
Well, that's so cool. I'm sure that people do like it. Hey, listen, I've got about 2 minutes left with you here today, and I wanted to hear how excited you are to share the bill with Tanya Tucker tomorrow night in Greenville. Is this going to be your first time to meet Tanya, or have you two shared a stage together?
This will be my first time, and
I am
I am so excited. I am elated. I cannot wait. When I first found out that we were opening for her, I literally went to iTunes, because I know I have her CD somewhere, but I went to iTunes because I hadn't even thought about it, and I got like Two Sparrows in a Hurricane and then put that on repeat for like
okay.
all day, the day I found out. I was so excited.
That is cool. I know that's always got to be a, you know, an honor to be able to open up for somebody who I would assume is an icon to you, somebody who influenced you growing up.
Oh, 100%. I'm really, really honored, and I can't believe it. I can't wait to meet her. I'm so excited.
Wow. Well, that is it's a really you know, rare opportunity for folks to catch Tanya Tucker touring in general, but and also a rare opportunity to catch you as her opening act. I'm guessing this is probably the first time you've played in Greenville, Texas also.
It will be my first time in
cool.
Greenville. Yeah.
But
I
awesome.
Am excited about that too.
It's a good way for you to meet some new fans out there, and I think people are going to really enjoy what you and Tanya have to offer. It's a show tomorrow night in Greenville at the Kenneth Redgill Concert Series. Before we release you back into the wild today and back to South by Southwest and all the stuff that you're doing, I want to play you out with your latest single, High Horse. This one is a lot of fun, and this is going to be on your full-length album, which is set to come out this year. Is that right?
Yes, this fall, early this fall.
Awesome. So so we can look forward to a new full-length album from my talented and lovely guest, Kimberly Dunn. It was great to talk to you. I wish we were doing this in person, Kimberly. Let's meet face-to-face sometime, because you are somebody who definitely does not have a face for radio, so I would love to see you in person someday. Thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me, Kimberly Dunn.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. You make it home.